You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It's Friday, May 12th, 2017. Happy Friday. The weekend is here. Alongside CCM Baseball's Matt Mozica, the King, Scott Angle, the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson. I'm Greg Sussman. 2 hours, folks. We get you ready for the final day of the week. And get you rocking and rolling in the weekend. Get pumped, baby. It should be fun. What's going on, Matty?
It's Friday, baby. It's always good. The weekend's coming. Interesting night ahead with the Mets. I want to see Matt Harvey on the bump. See what happens there in Milwaukee.
Absolutely, Matt Harvey, the return for the Metropolitan. What's up, Scotty?
How you doing there, Greg? You watch anything interesting last night?
Watched a lot of TV. Watched Fargo last night. Caught up on that. That was good. Billy Bob Thornton narrating. That was cool.
Wow.
That was cool. So it was a fine episode. Also, I watched. I saw TV. I was going to watch the second half of the Spurs and the Rockets, and I realized there was no reason to, Corey.
No.
No, that actually, that got ugly early. That got kind of blown away. The Houston Rockets, they waited till the last damn game of the season to become the Houston Rockets. And you got to give a shout out to Coach Pop and the San Antonio Spurs. That was a masterful performance last night. And now the Western Conference Finals that we thought we were going to get last year between the Spurs and my between the San Antonio Spurs and my Golden State Warriors. Between the Spurs and my Golden State Warriors, we get that this year. I guess whoever don't win will be your team, Scott.
So I would be a Cowboys fan in football, right? Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Front runner. By the way, it's interesting with Popovich. He was talking about him. He's five of the seven elimination games that D'Antoni has suffered in his career have come at the hands of Popovich.
But yeah, D'Antoni's just not a good coach. Yeah. I think everybody at this table.
It's all system.
Yeah, it's all system. And when the threes don't drop, they don't play defense, and that's what's going to happen, even without Kawhi Leonard here. And I'm excited because now the Spurs will, I believe, Corey, get their first shot in the playoffs with the Warriors. They haven't faced each other in the last 2 years. So now you get the Spurs and the Warriors. Given the time in between series here, you have a little bit of time at least. Hopefully Kawhi will get healthy.
Yeah, you get a chance to get Kawhi healthy. That makes a big difference for this San Antonio Spurs. Obviously, he's their best player, best defender, best guy on offense. Also seeing, LaMarcus Aldridge step up and play now.
Yeah,
but I'll be honest with you. They don't have enough offense to beat the Warriors. They don't. The Warriors can sweep these dudes.
The problem is they don't have enough. Like, Houston had the offense, obviously. Mm-hmm. They blew him out in game one. Everyone thought it was over. And, some of us had held the brakes here.
Yep.
But the Warriors also play really good defense. Like Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson are fantastic. And the Rockets didn't have any of that, right? None of these guys were, you could say, fantastic.
No.
You have Durant, you have Klay Thompson. And the Durant-Kawhi matchup is just going to be awesome to watch.
Yeah, but then you still have to account for a healthy Steph Curry.
And
so
Draymond
it'll be
Green
interesting
as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough, Scotty.
Call me when the finals start.
By the way, Harden did not score until 6:21 left in the first quarter last night.
There's a rumor that he's concussed. We'll see if that ever comes out. When we come back, we run on the baseball. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hanging out here. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Greg Sussman here with you. Going for 2 hours, gentlemen. And got a lot of baseball to get into, of course, from the night that was and the night that, and the weekend that is to come. So I wanted to start out, every time I leave work, I just get this awful information, sports-wise, baseball-wise. I don't want to make it sound bigger than it is, but baseball-wise, every time I leave here, all of a sudden I get this annoying text from a buddy who is a big fantasy player, and he texts me when anything happens. He was the one that broke the Jameson Taillon testicular cancer news to me.
Right.
And he also broke the news that he goes, God damn it, Kenta Maeda now. What? Why me? How unlucky am I? And I hate those people that do that because everybody has injured players, right? Like, everyone has to deal with injuries throughout the year. I was like, just getting Aaron Nola back, and now I got whatever. But the fact was, he broke the news that Kenta Maeda headed to the DL. Now, I looked into it a little bit, and he's on the DL, going on the DL with hamstring soreness, right? Not tightness, not strain. This is the only one today, I think.
So all right, so you're all right. We could.
No, actually, there's more. Yeah.
Is there?
Well, yeah, there is.
Who else?
Well, Familia.
Oh, yeah. That was yesterday morning. I forgot about that one. Yeah.
And Trevor Story.
I mean, maybe we'll take Jeff out a little bit. You're right. It's a good point, Scott.
Yeah.
Anyway. You're right. I forgot. You're right.
Yeah, it's all good. No, it's all fine.
So, and Robert Zagano also missed time with his quad.
Just like Maeda, you know, is your main focus. So.
Maeda is my main focus because this is one of those things, after I looked into it a little bit, I don't believe it's real. It's soreness. It's not tightness. It's not a strain. It's not a tear. It's hamstring soreness. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. To me, that's what it sounds like. Manure.
Can't say the word.
So I'm saying manure.
Manure.
That's not the word I was trying to.
What are you looking for?
Manipulation. That was
manipulation.
For some reason,
manure is what it is. Because
I think we all have words we have trouble with.
For sure. Yeah. You know, the Hyunjin Ryu came back last night. That didn't go great. So Ryu coming back last night. Rich Hill's coming back Tuesday. They needed a spot not only on the roster but in the starting rotation. So let's look at our starting rotation. We're not doing anything with Clayton Kershaw, obviously. Alex Wood's pitching pretty well. We need two spots. And Julio Urias, we have this plan for him. We can't really touch that at the moment. But here's a guy that had his longest outing of his MLB career yesterday. Given off days, given the guys we have, we probably only, you know, we want to give him a little extended break, maybe miss one start. And given the off days, a little manipulation, there's the word again. Put him on the DL, 10-day DL. He misses one start, and that's it. Do you believe, Matt Modica, that Hyunjin Ryu's injury is real or it's manipulation?
Kenta Maeda, man.
Sorry, yeah. Kenta Maeda.
Yeah, no, I think this is totally playing with the new rules that have been implemented by MLB. Just taking advantage of the 10-day DL. Brandon McCarthy is supposed to come back on Monday, I believe.
Yeah.
So, like you said, they have an abundance of starters right now. So they're trying to finagle everybody in and out. And like I said, it's just they're using the system. So,
and you know what? It's not just speculation by you, Andy McCullough.
Oh, I like
veteran,
Andy McCullough.
Veteran reporter.
Yep.
Veteran beat guy in the LA Times. I will quote how his article starts today. The Dodgers continue to utilize the 10-day disabled list as a strategic asset Thursday by shutting down Kenta Maeda because of tightness. He did say tightness, though. He didn't say soreness, like you said.
Okay.
He did say tightness, and that's what the report I saw this morning. But you know, the Dodgers have already, like, you know, used three pitchers this way. Maeda told an interpreter there was some fatigue before. I was able to pitch fine. I felt fine. It was something the club that just wanted me to be careful with. So McCullough agrees with you.
Yeah, I like Andy McCullough. He's more Yankee beat reporter.
Did not prevent Maeda completing a normal workout like he usually does in the weight room.
So he did.
Yeah,
great. So Kenta Maeda, he's fine. It's one missed start. I wouldn't worry about that, especially Corey, the way he's been pitching pretty well.
Yeah, no doubt. I think you get the one missed start. Matter of fact, it could be a good thing. You feel what I'm saying? So. Nothing really to see here as the Dodgers manipulate the 10-day disabled list.
Actually, though, it's like you can miss Maeda pitching against the Giants and that could mean another victory.
That's an
That's a bummer.
Yeah, you're
right about that, Scott.
Yeah, that's an annoying one.
That was kind of like the Mets should have started Matt Harvey the other day against the Giants as opposed to starting tonight in Milwaukee.
Right, but, you know.
They didn't want the fans to
boo him. I don't know if I
anything.
Agree with that, though. It's still like...
Of course not, because you got to defend the Mets.
What's that?
You got to defend the Mets.
No. I don't even want to get into it. I'm miscast as like an optimistic Mets fan.
I am miscast.
And I'll tell you how I'm miscast.
I will tell you right now how I'm miscast.
Tell us right
now. But before that, I want to say that the Mets didn't score any runs that game. So, you know, it's... They might have lost anyway.
I was talking about the Wednesday game. Instead of Tommy Malone.
Yeah.
They should have put... him in, they should have gave Matt Harvey the chance to succeed against a team that, since the All-Star break last year, has scored 400 runs, the worst in baseball. Now he's got to go into Miller Park, which is very hitter friendly. He's got to face lefties like Eric Thames, who's killing it in a park that left-handed power plays.
He also has to face Keon Broxton, best player in baseball. Continue.
All right. The reason why I miscast is because 90% of every other Met fan is doom, gloom, and negative. They have like a jet-like mentality. Now, I'm not going to sit here and so when I say something positive, automatically I'm miscast as a positive Met fan. They have a rash of injuries. There is a lot of terrible stuff going on with that team. They mismanage injuries. I saw Tommy Malone was in the rotation the other day, I almost threw up my lunch, okay? Mm. But at the same time, I'm the one that to point out that that team has won 8 of their last 12. I'm balanced. Every other Met fan's way negative. I'm not an optimist. I keep it balanced.
Oh, the Mets want to win the National League East.
Wait.
I'm not saying they're out of it, though.
Wait a minute. You say you keep it balanced because everybody else Met fan is doom and gloom, right? That's how you're keeping balance.
Yeah.
So by them all being doom and gloom and you basically always being optimistic, you're not keeping it balanced with yourself. You're just keeping it balanced because you have all the doom and gloom fans, and you're going to be the eternal optimist.
That's... No, I'm not being an eternal optimist. You're missing the point.
No,
what I'm
not
saying is I mentioned the bad, and I mentioned the good.
What bad did you mention?
I talked about all the injuries.
That's not bad. Those are facts.
The injuries, yes.
Those are facts.
And I realize all of them, and it's dark, and I get it.
When are you ever negative on the team?
When am I ever negative on the team?
Yes.
I was negative on the team for a long time. You know, I would say like, what was it, like 2007 to like 2011.
So the last 6 years, you've had no reason to be negative on the team. Even when they
I'm not saying I've pointed out negatives with the team, but I'm the only one that points out positives, and that's why I get painted as optimistic.
Oh, so you're basically a propagandist now.
No. you totally miss it. I see the bad and I see the good.
But you don't tell us the bad.
What?
You don't tell us
I don't
the
have
bad.
To. Everybody else does.
But it's your job to be fair and objective.
When this stuff comes up, everybody lays out the negative to the point where, like, what am I just going to repeat it? I realize what other Met fans say, but the other Met fans don't bring out the positive. I bring out the positive. I bring out the negative because I look at the history of this team, okay, and as long as I've been a fan since 1968, there are tremendous highs and tremendous lows. And I have to keep it balanced.
No, you know, in my opinion, you should be telling the truth. When Noah Syndergaard refuses to get an MRI and Terry Collins...
I didn't defend Syndergaard at all.
You defended the Mets.
How did I defend the Mets?
Well, the Mets can't make him do anything. You know, he's the
player. What I said was... No, I didn't say that. I quoted Sandy Alderson. He said.
So you sounded like a PR piece.
No,
exactly.
I'm not sounding like a PR piece. I'm saying there was nothing that the Mets could do. I didn't agree with it. I'm not in agreement with Syndergaard, so I don't know what you're talking about. You guys are kind of like, you know, at least you were broad-stroking it and, you know, saying that I'm this optimistic fan. I don't have to repeat the negative narratives. They're all there. I was saying, despite all this negative press, despite everything that happened with Harvey and Syndergaard and everything, which was all, the Syndergaard thing was bungled. Harvey deserves a lot of I keep saying they bungled the Cespedes thing, but at the same time, I was the only one that pointed out they won 8-12, so I got painted as an optimist.
I pointed out they won 8-12. I pointed out every day.
It's not about being an. I'm just trying to be a realist. I mean, they have mishandled things repeatedly, and going into the season, I thought it was close, but the Nationals had a better team. The Nationals have won 95 games. What, 2 out of the last 3 years? The Nationals have some, like, one of the best hitters in the game. They have Daniel Murphy, who's now like an MVP candidate every year. Ryan Zimmerman, look, he's playing above his head right now, and he'll probably get hurt. But they just have a better team than the Mets do. And I want the Mets to succeed. That Noah Syndergaard thing was a joke. And I'm not trying to be a pessimist. I'm not trying to be an optimist. I'm just looking at the situation. Like I said, unless the Nationals face catastrophic injuries to Scherzer. I mean, it's very possible Strasburg does not ever finish the season. So that's a possibility. But, I mean, it's a repeated thing that's why these fans feel like this. It's not that it happens once in a while. I mean, it's kind of sad.
You know what it is? It's a mentality real quick. It's like, you know, I know they lost the 2015 World Series, but every Met fan, it seems, looks back on that as like a failure. I don't. Look, I wanted them to win the World Series, but making the World Series, I thought, was a significant accomplishment.
When we return, we'll talk about some of the baseball from last night, including Hyunjin Ryu getting blown up and a whole lot more. This is the Roto Experts of the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are here, chatting it up. You liking this?
This is like, I'm going back down memory lane. I had my hand pushed back, gold chain, diamonds. I was a little punk.
Driving
you
5.0.
Love and life. You know, yesterday, Corey, we were saying that, like, oh, this is why you don't pick Colorado because you get, you know, shut out, blah, blah, blah. You lose money, right?
Who's that?
In Colorado.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it was a 10-7 ball game.
It happens.
It sure does.
It happens.
Hyunjin Ryu comes off the DL. It does not go well. He probably will be back on the DL by the time we'll finish this. Yeah. 4 innings, 8 hits, 10 runs, 5 of which were earned, 6 walks, 4 strikeouts, 100 pitches, not a good start, Scotty, from Hyunjin Ryu.
No, certainly not. And, you know, but it's in Colorado. But other than that, you know, you can't trust the guy to stay healthy even when he gets quality starts, you know. On the other side, Greg Holland, you know, picked up yet another save, you know, leading the league there. And we've talked about Trevor Story going on the DL. Be interesting to see. Tony and I were talking about this, about maybe Pat Vilakia is going to play a lot of shortstop now. Ian Desmond has played shortstop, but hasn't played it in 2 years. You know, is it going to be a decision where they put Desmond back there, or where they put Vilakia there? And you know, if they put Desmond
like
in, it might.
I was going to say the same thing.
I like how you say that.
It might be a thing of, you know, do you want Gerardo Parra to play left field while Desmond plays short? So it'd be interesting to see how they attack it.
Well, it's interesting. When they signed Ian Desmond, we never actually really considered, at least I didn't, guys, the versatility, right? And we didn't realize, you know, I didn't think, yeah, sure, you play first base in half, but you can put him back at shortstop. And Vilakia has actually been playing pretty well in that. You know, I'm sure in NL-only leagues, you have to pick him up, no doubt. In 15-team leagues, is Pat Vilakia someone we should be talking about, Matt?
It, like Scott said, it depends. If he's going to get a role, otherwise, no. But NL-only, you're just looking for somebody, especially in cores. Anybody that plays any games in cores, you want. So, I mean, the guy that I'm going to look forward to and see his next start is Jeff Hoffman, who got the spot start last night. He's one of their better prospects. He's a guy that I was like drafting like late 30s and like the draft and hold those 50 rounders preseason. So, I mean, he's an interesting arm. He pitched really well. It was like the 6th or the 7th inning. He got hit around a little, but before that, they really weren't touching him.
Jeff Hoffman was the crown jewel of Troy Tulowitzki trade from Toronto over to Colorado. Like you said, he pitched pretty well with those 8 strikeouts. In Colorado, as I said, it's just a longstanding rule for me that I'm just not going to get involved with them, even no matter how well the Colorado guys are pitching. I just don't bother with it.
No, it's tough. That's you're taking on a tall task because, you know, even if they're pitching well, The blow up could be so severe to your ratio.
It's coming at some point.
Yeah, when you look at Vilakia, you know, this is a guy that didn't put up great numbers in the minors early in the season, but you take a flyer because he plays in cores, and, you know, the guy can play both the outfield and short, too. So you have to take note of that as well.
Absolutely. Eligibility be really, really strong. And it's funny, I'm kind of annoyed at you three, to be honest, because I sat here on Monday morning. I was like, listen, can I just bench Trevor Story this week? Oh, I can't bench him 7 games in cores. Boom, DL.
Yeah, well, but I mean, look, we didn't know he was gonna get hurt, though. You can't bench him. The thing I found interesting with this game is Ryu starting, he comes up the DL. The guy didn't pitch for 2 years, and you're going to instantly put him into Colorado? Seems like a tough task for me.
Yeah, you know, I think, but as McCullough said in his column this morning, the manipulating the DL, that's kind of how it, you know, worked out.
Yes.
Somebody's got to pitch in Colorado.
But, I mean, if anybody started Ryu,
Colorado's got good pitching so far this year. So,
they do. They really do. They've been strong. Yeah, yeah. Cody Bellinger continues to mash. I also believe that this was Bellinger's 10th game in the outfield, which means he now has outfield eligibility as well. He came up as a first baseman with only first base and corner eligibility. Now he will have outfield eligibility as well, so that's good for you, Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, and he leads the Dodgers, all Dodgers, in RBIs since he was actually called up to the team, so he is absolutely getting it done.
Yes, Tony. Yeah. So, After sticking with Colorado Rockies, first place in the NL West, sitting at 23-13, which best start in Rockies history, I assume?
Yes.
There it is. Mm-hmm. The Arizona Diamondbacks, well, they kept pace last night, and they won 2-1, as Zach Greinke was absolutely stellar, as he had a, was it a perfect game or a no-hitter?
No-hitter going into the eighth.
I actually watched this game, and this was, I mean, besides the fact that he had the no-hitter, great to try and watch something like that go on. I mean, he kind of just kept pitching Gregory Polanco inside all night. And the pitch that he hit the home run on wasn't even a strike. The previous pitch, he hit a towering foul homer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he almost hit one of the previous pitch.
He came inside, like, off the plate, and he just barreled it. But, I mean, Greinke has been a godsend. I'm actually happy for Greinke, all the stuff he went through last year. I mean, look, the guy signed a $206 million contract.
Don't feel bad for him.
So, I mean, I really shouldn't feel bad. But I'm just saying, as like what he went through as an athlete and, you know, that, because I think he's been one of the top pitchers over the last decade.
Yep.
But on the flip side, real quick, Gerrit Cole really impressed the hell out of me. Because in that second and third innings, he had two runners on, one out or less, and he allowed a run in each of those innings only. Last year's Gerrit Cole would have been blown up, not even seen the fourth inning, and he pitched seven strong. I think seven strikeouts to 1-1.
Yeah, and another pitching note, Fernando Rodney, we're all speculating about him losing his job, and he converted his third consecutive save opportunity. Yes, he has a 9.95 ERA, but he's at least going to quiet those naysayers for right now, and the Pirates are just not scoring any runs.
Hey, the ERA is 9.95, but he got nine saves.
Yeah.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, well, you don't want that ERA, but you take the saves. that's why he's one of the final closers off the board. But the Pirates have scored like nine runs in their last five games.
Yeah, I was saying to Frank Sample yesterday that we're looking at those teams like targets and streamer with your stream pitchers. San Diego, of course, always comes to mind.
The Royals
always come to mind. Yeah. The Giants come to mind.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the Pirates are right up there with them. They can't hit right now.
Yeah, no, they're just decimated. I mean, I'm hoping that Gregory I'm hoping Gregory Polanco now gets on track. That was his first homer of the year. The seal has been broken. So as a Gregory Polanco owner, I'm hoping for really good things.
Yeah,
pop this cherry.
I'm there with you. It's funny, if you look at the team averages for Pittsburgh and for Arizona here, just like go up and down the line. All these guys in Pittsburgh outside of Jake Lamb are batting 290. Like almost every regular is batting 290 outside of Jake Lamb. You go over to the Pittsburgh side of thing, you don't have a single regular that's batting, other than Josh Harrison, a single regular is batting 250.
Yeah,
that's
crazy. You look at that Arizona lineup, like you talked about, it's like we haven't seen the power surge yet from Brandon Drury, and he's hitting 313.
Sure.
I still think a binge is yet to come.
Yeah, they mentioned last night on the broadcast, on the Arizona broadcast, about the humidor that's coming.
Yep.
So that's going to be interesting to see how that changes, how that ball jumps out of that stadium. It's been very hitter-friendly.
Oh, explain this. What's going on?
Yeah, like Colorado has the humidor. They put it in there to try and, because they want to have, the MLB wants the baseball at 70 degrees.
Yeah.
And they want it like kind of controlled. So obviously in Arizona, you just can't do that.
Yeah.
So they're implementing a humidor to have the balls at that exact temperature,
okay,
to try and, you know, alleviate the pitching woes that they've been suffering.
Now, Corey, you usually use Jeff to demonstrate injuries. Maybe we can get some sort of visual aid from Matt here so he can, like, hold the baseball and, you know, show you these kind of things.
He get, like, a weather map, you know what I mean?
Some grips,
he is our pitching expert.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. CTM baseball is Matt.
Yes.
I'm the BS expert.
As well as our resident doctor.
Oh, by yes, way, and how, the doctor. How is Jeff? Jeff took a fall yesterday.
Oh, what Jeff had
to
a
Jeff? Jeff fell yesterday?
Jeff might have a concussion.
Is he going under the DL?
Jeff might be concussed.
Jeff head came off yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. His head came off. I had to put Jeff head back on.
Is he okay?
He's fine. I had surgery on him.
You performed? How long did that surgery take?
Just a couple minutes. Jeff's not that big of a guy. His head, I was walking over there. I was putting Jeff back in his corner, and his head popped, you know, slipped and whatever. And his head popped off, and I had to screw his head back on. Hmm. He looks all right today, though.
Yeah, he looks okay. He looks strong today.
Yeah.
He looks strong.
Jeff missing something. Maybe it's a female. I don't know.
Maybe it's Jenny. We haven't considered that. That's a good point.
Yeah, that could be a female skeleton.
Could be.
So you know how we always talk about, Corey, I know you and I do it all the time, that in 2 years, like, this incredible class that is going to, free agent class in baseball is coming out, like Kershaw, Machado, and
Bryce Harper,
right? Like, everybody's
all my favorite guys.
All your favorite guys. We haven't, yeah, the Yankees are going to sign all of them, obviously. But,
yeah, they're all going to be New York Yankees. Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you one, Scotty, and I know you like to make fun of me because I prematurely give out these contracts for the Yankees. I'm going to tell you one guy I guarantee you they sign. Outside of Bryce Harper, obviously.
Trevor Cahill?
No, not sure. But I'm being serious with you.
Okay.
In 2 years, one guy that the Yankees will 1,000% sign will be Dallas Keuchel.
They have to.
Why do you believe that?
Because they can't beat him. they can't beat him.
Well, they have twice, though. His career record, the career record against him is 4-2 with a 1.41 ERA.
1.41 ERA. The fact is, the Yankees cannot, over and over and over, every time they face him, he stymies the crap out of them. Anyone that stymies the crap, like, they remember these things, right?
That was a masterful performance last night.
Every time he plays them, it's a masterful
I watched it the way. Just like, this is the Dallas Keuchel that we saw when he won the Cy Young Award. The way that he just like they're going to be actually looking forward to facing McCullers tonight after what they saw from Keuchel last night.
100%.
He was changing speed, soft tossing. The changeup was working. So much soft contact. It's like he totally frustrates the Yankees. You can see they're a fastball hitting team, and everything that he comes in with just like keeps them so much off balance.
It's unbelievable. Keuchel went 6 innings with 9 strikeouts, 5 hits, a walk, a run, and the run. And the run that inning was the most absurd thing ever because it was an error that Yuli Gurriel just dropped the freaking ball, literally just threw it at him and he dropped it. A clean single. Eventually, the bases get loaded. And Jacoby Ellsbury reaches on catcher's interference again. He has the second most catcher interference of all time behind Pete Rose. One catcher's interference away from Pete Rose. We'll talk more about this game and Dallas Keuchel and the Yankees and a whole lot more. This right here is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. And before we left, we talked about Dallas Keuchel. I was very convinced, still am, he's going to be a Yankee because they cannot beat him. I understand 4-2, whatever. But that 1.41 ERA, every time they face him, they cannot do anything against this guy.
Now, I could see strategically why, because a soft-tossing guy like that who changes speeds in Yankee Stadium can really keep the ball in the park.
Not only that, he's also somebody that ages well because you're not relying on a hard fastball.
Here's the thing. Now, I know that the Yankee fans expect him to sign Kershaw, Keuchel, Machado, and Harper, but that's not going to happen. You can't get both Machado and Harper and then have money left for Keuchel, too, so maybe it might be a hitter and a pitcher. Like, you get a Harper or a Machado, and you get a Keuchel, but here's the other thing we're talking about. Like, what if, you know, if the Yankees are contending, they might want to get somebody like Garrett Cole, like we were talking about, because they can have him this year as well as next. The Yankee mindset might not be waiting for 2019 anymore if they're going to contend.
Yeah, I think that's out the window. You
know, exactly. Like he said, that might be out the window. Sure, the Yankees – now the Yankees might be looking to improve sooner than later. And what's to say that – the Astros don't retain this guy, or that somebody else, you know, we're assuming that, what pitcher like that, there's going to be other players on the market for him besides the Yankees, too.
Yeah, but let's focus in the now. Like I said, Garrett Cole, to me, the Pirates, as we talked, they just, you know, everything's gone wrong for them. They'll be selling. But I think the left-hander that might end up in the Bronx is Jason Vargas. I don't want him to go to the Bronx. I want him to stay in Kansas City.
I'm sure you do.
I got some shares. I'm happy with him in Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that's an arm they can get. It's not going to cost them a ton. He's better than some of the arms they got. And if you add him and a Garrett Cole to Tanaka
and Gary Cole. Tanaka
Severino.
That's nice when you end with Gary Cole.
A rotation going into next year. It's like you're looking ahead to 2019. What Matt's talking about contending this year, and then what do you start next year with?
Let's be honest. I was kind of just using that theory to get to this game. Not really thinking about 2019. I don't see the Jason Vargas thing happening so much. I think Gary Cole is a legit possibility this year. Not talking about next year for the Yankees. This year, Gary Cole, with the way he's pitching, with their infatuation with Gary Cole, drafting him all those years ago, always wanting him. I can see that being real. Being under contract next year as well, with Tanaka being a free agent, right? Like, I think there are reasons to think Gerrit Cole to the Yankees could happen.
Yes.
They obviously have the prospects to do it. Let's see what they'll give up.
So, I can see Jason Vargas actually in Flushing.
Back in Flushing.
I'd like to have him come at this point. You know.
When did Jason Vargas play for the Mets?
I thought he did. Maybe. Hold on.
I don't think he did.
Jason Vargas played for the Mets in 2007, Met fans. Boom.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Maybe I conveniently forgot that.
I forgot it too, Scotty.
Yeah. It's all right. The two Met fans at the table.
Scotty,
me with these eyes
old,
like,
Scotty,
crazy.
We are old. You know.
Fair weather Met.
How long did he play for him, though?
All of 2007.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah. Let's see here. He pitched.
He was too busy in the ballpark.
He wasn't very good.
It was all a dream. I used to read word of
magazine. I was still watching the Mets that year, though, unlike you.
Unlike me or
jump
Matt.
From team to team.
He's not a Met fan.
He knows more about the Mets than he does the Yankees.
And my TV has never been on. My television has never been on.
Corey only pays attention to baseball. He pays attention to fantasy players and the Mets. That's what he pays attention to.
He's a track for the Nationals.
No, he's not a Nationals fan.
I am Washington.
You're not
my Washington Nationals.
You are a golden fake warrior, and you are not a Nationals fan. You're
really?
A Yankee.
Like cliches. You say you're
a Yankee warrior. You're a Yankee, but it's not a cliche because I created it.
So you created
a cliche.
A cliche
is something that everybody uses.
Well, you can have a created cliche, right?
No. Yeah. Cliches are something that everybody uses.
I don't agree.
But the point is that Corey is a Knick fan, a Yankee fan, and a Cowboy fan, and that's it.
So you're saying that you have like a catchphrase. That's like more of a catchphrase?
Catchphrase, yeah. Okay. There you go.
Thank you, Florio. I'm not paying the Fantasy King any attention.
Yeah, because I tell the truth.
Do you
I speak
Corey
the truth.
Met
He's
Met
a Knick
Met.
Fan.
Do you think he watches Met games?
He knows more about him than he does the Yankees.
Because they own the damn front page every day.
Even when they weren't, you were talking about him.
Had to listen to you and Ronis for all those years.
You are a Knickerbocker, you are a Yankee, and you are a Cowboy. Mm. You're only loyal to the Cowboys.
Mm. You only loyal nothing.
Right, nothing.
Michael Pineda didn't pitch terribly. 6-2.
No, he did.
3 runs.
The only blemish was really against Correa, and Correa owns him. He came in 5-for-8. Against Pineda, and like Pineda tried to locate and just lost the location, and Correa, who's been on fire this month, took him out of the park.
Did you see what in the batting practice he was shooting to right field?
What's that guy's name that catches all the balls?
Zach Campbell.
Zach Campbell. Zach Campbell caught his ball because you were going to say that Correa was going to right center field in batting practice, and Zach Campbell watches batting practice, knows exactly where to sit.
He's written books on it.
Yeah.
I mean, but honestly, I don't know how great I'd feel about catching a. I mean. It's great to get a ball, but...
The point you were going to make,
when
though,
you have thousands,
he knew,
doesn't really
he knew how to hit Pineda,
yeah, yeah,
though.
Exactly. And this kid is an absolute stud. I think I only have, like, one share of him, but it's basically where I've got a lot of high draft picks. I was, like, first, second, or third in a lot of places.
I know. But I wouldn't mind that for football this year.
I wouldn't even get to football right now. But, I mean, Correa, I remember the first couple of weeks, people were like, oh, he's starting slow. It's May 12th, whatever it is. I mean, this kid's going to win the MVP this year.
Correa himself is like, in my AL only league, he like boosted me from like 10th to 5th this week.
There you go.
Over the last 2 weeks.
A couple of stolen bases. Aaron Hicks, he picked him up. He's still performing well. He got a 6th stolen base of the year yesterday. Walked 3 different times. Aaron Judge stole the 2nd base of the year.
What a great ending.
See those guys?
Well, I mean, it wasn't for you, but I mean, that's drama.
That had
I mean,
potentially be a great ending.
Yeah. That was...
Jacoby Ellsbury steals his 8th base, of course, and then is thrown out at the plate to end the game.
Yeah, it's like Ken Giles got the 10th save last night, but that was because of the Mariznick throw. So you almost had to give Mariznick the throw. That was the first time a Yankee has been thrown out at home plate to end a game in 30 years.
Wow. Look at Scott with the Nuggets.
Yeah. 1987 was the last time.
But
who was the player?
For the Yankees.
Oh, okay.
The Yankee get thrown out at home plate to end the game.
Who was the player?
I don't know who the last player was. Right. I just know it was 87.
But for Ken Giles owners, fear not.
The Mets won.
That was a rocky outing last night, but he got the save. But I think in his last 9 or 10 appearances, he's been lights out.
Yeah, you've been sitting here being like this every time we talk about the game. Yeah. Max pumping those fists up. And you're like, yeah.
You see, Aaron Judge has his own cheering section in the outfield now. They all dress like judges.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got the white hair in the robe.
All rise.
It says all rise.
Love it.
When he comes up.
It's the best. Although he hasn't had a home run in a while. He struck out. He didn't look good last night, Aaron Judge.
He was saying.
Cold. I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about it. I'm just saying, like, you know, but the fact is, McCullers is a much better matchup for him tonight than Dallas Keuchel is with all the speed changes.
And the thing with McCullers is his last road outing was much better. I think the previous two road outings that he had this season, he had allowed 5 runs each. I think the kid's got tremendous stuff. I do want to see how he pitches tonight against the Yankees. It's going to be interesting. And like you said, with the Aaron Judge slumping a little, you're getting Gary Sanchez back. So that kind of like, while he cools off a little, Sanchez is hitting the ball hard. He's going to get hot. So,
would you, in a daily move league, would you start Lance McCullers tonight, Corey, against the Yankees in the Bronx?
I would.
You would?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's in my lineup. I mean, if I'm playing like an 18 league, maybe
I just want my ERA not to go up. It's so nice.
Here's
the thing with McCullers tonight that worries me. It's like the Yankees, fastball hitting team, right? Yep. Especially in this ballpark.
Yep.
After seeing Keuchel, man, they're going to want to tee up on
McCullers.
Yeah,
but this guy's got one of his curveballs. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. He's got one of the best curveballs.
Yeah, McCullers has good stuff.
He does have good stuff, so it kind of puts you on the fence.
He's too good of an arm to me. He's an arm that people were saying prior to the season, if he can stay healthy, he's a possible AL Cy Young candidate.
His dad was a pretty good reliever, too.
Yeah, his dad was.
Yeah.
The Astros and the Yankees, of course, tonight in the Bronx. I'm a little nervous, to be totally honest with you guys, but that's okay. But
I hope it's a great game.
I don't even know what I want, honestly.
I don't even know what I'm rooting for.
Greg, you would root for like McCullers to throw 6 shutout innings, and then the bullpen blows it.
Yes, that's exactly
game,
right. For Luke Gregerson.
Luke Gregerson gets lit up. And Jordan Montgomery gets the win.
Sure. That's great. That sounds perfect.
Devenski gets hammered for. Like, did you see Devenski last night? It's like he almost teased us. He put 2 runners on base, and he said, well, okay, you know, I'm just going to strike the next 2 guys out. Bang, bang.
I'm glad you brought up Chris Devenski, and I'm glad you brought up putting runners on base and then getting out of it, because that's exactly what Corey Knebel did yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was yesterday afternoon. We were watching in the control room as Knebel ultimately loaded the bases and then didn't allow a single run when it was all said and done.
I believe yesterday morning I said he should be owned even without saves. So
yes, you did.
And I'm a little pissed that Feliz gave up that home run, because now he's going to cost more. Now,
people are going to speculate, like we talk about. Feliz giving up the game-winning home run to Mookie Betts, who the Brewers can't wait to see it go out of town. He's 0-4. He's converted 8-9, but he's got a 6.19 ERA. There's some speculation now that people starting to speculate. You know, Knebel is their best reliever, not Feliz.
Knebel might be the arm that gets moved. That's
100%.
He's the
better
arm.
Tony was saying, though, he said people are not paying attention here with the Brewers. He said, you know, this team has a pretty good record right now, and everybody's assuming they're going to sell.
Yeah, but
are they going to sell?
I'll counter that. All these teams, the Reds, the Brewers, are doing well now. It's the middle of May. In 2 months, let me see where they are.
Remember, Knebel may be their best reliever, but that also means he may be most beneficial to them pitching where he is in the 7th and the 8th. Feliz, as bad as he's been with that 6.19 ERA, Feliz only blown one save.
I can see Knebel closing.
He's only blown one save, though. So remember that. We'll talk more about the Brewers and the Red Sox on the other side. But before that, it is time for Roto Experts at the Park. Hunter Pence up next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Roto Experts in the Morning.
Can I bring it in next time, Greg?
Bring it right now.
Next time. You already started now.
Jerry, you're the top of the hour. All you.
Thank you.
You got it. Roto Experts at the Park is coming up here. We got Scotty. Is that Citi Field? And he got the opportunity
to talk to
Hunter Pence.
Hunter Pence.
Yeah, Hunter Pence. Right now, the Giants are 12-24. So suck. You know they're you know dead to a point where you know maybe they're one of the teams that might be selling at the deadline. But Pence has been through this team with championship years, so I asked him about you know the fact that his teammates view him as a leader, and you know what's this going to mean. Joe Panic says you're really like a vocal leader of the, of this clubhouse. Do you see it that way, or just more try to lead by example?
We have a tremendous amount of leadership in this clubhouse and a lot of strong, powerful, guys here. So, I do the best I can and just try to be a good teammate and do everything I can to help win.
So, Hunter Pence is a lot more than that. You know, on Audio Boom, Google Play, and iTunes, and where he talks about, you know, what he wants, referred to his batting stance as, because he's got one of the most unusual batting stance in all of Major League Baseball. Right now, he's hitting just .244 with 3 home runs and 16 RBIs. And if you listen to my very interesting interview with John Shea of the San Francisco Chronicle, he's their beat writer, also on Roto Experts at the Park on Demand. You know, he talks about how this team just like in left field, it's kind of a void right now because left field, you want to put like a classic power hitter there. And this team is just hitting for no power because of injuries, lack of personnel, et cetera. They don't have the power right now. And it's the pitching is bad. The ERA came in over to the week like at 489.
Well, do you want to state that they named Eduardo Nunez their everyday left fielder now going forward? I know they've been trying to mix and match.
Not ideal.
He's
going
to make a lot of errors.
Yeah. It's going to be Nunez in left field.
Yeah, and John Shea talks about that, you know, and we'll play a cut of John, you know, coming up early next week where, you know, Eduardo Nunez is not ideally the guy they want in left field. You want a left fielder who's like a power hitter. Power left field is a power position in Major League Baseball.
You know, with Eduardo Nunez in left field, it might be a lot of inside the park home runs.
He might pull Kevin Kiermaier. For the second time this week last night, Kevin Kiermaier let a ball roll under his glove against the Royals, and the Royals got another
inside the
Little League inside the park home run from Whit Merrifield.
It was literally just a single. I saw it. It was literally just a single. It was a single that went right under his glove, and that was it.
Yeah, but you could listen home to run. Hunter
home
Pence
run. And other, home run.
Other San Francisco Giants Roto Experts at the Park on Demand. And we'll have a digital version coming up very soon on RotoExperts.com.
Yo, that's crazy. The inside the park home run is crazy.
I want to let everybody know Corey's out of breath and faking being out of breath.
Oh boy. Home run. Yay, home run. All right. Manny Machado.
Kayla, I need some water over there.
That's why
he
did it.
We should have Kayla come in the studio so people everybody can see her.
For those who don't know, Kayla is one of the servers here at Rock and Riley.
She does a wonderful job. She does the morning shift.
Just outside Studio 34 in Midtown.
When our homeboy was here, Bernard King, she served Bernard King.
Yeah.
So did Scott.
Nice. That was very un-Greg like, but very timely.
It was
yes.
Good.
Yeah. Timing. Yeah. You're starting to loosen up.
It was good timing.
Yeah.
By the way, I do want to give you credit, Scotty. Ever since we had the wackadoo that walked in here randomly and just sat down, you haven't given out the address.
And you noticed that too, right?
No. I've noticed
I spoke
that.
To that guy last week.
Oh,
did
really?
You?
Yeah.
You know, it was a dude.
Who thought invite him back?
He's in the fantasy industry.
There was a dude came in here the other day.
Really?
I came in here to do the fantasy football frenzy. It was a dude sitting in here, and I was like, "What the hell are you doing in here?"
Waiting for the fantasy executive.
We got a lot more baseball to come. Is Mike Lyon as well? It's Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Roto.
hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. CTA Baseball's Matt Modica, Scott Engel, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, nowhere to be found. Now they're just walking in front of cameras because why wouldn't they just walk off camera?
Freaky Friday, baby.
It's hour number two. Corey's supposed to bring us in. Couldn't do that. Your mic's not going to be on. He didn't bring anybody else water.
My
bad. I'm bringing the next segment.
Now you bring in the next segment.
Yep. Alright, so what we got? Last night was fun, right?
Last night was great.
Yeah.
We had a great Foul Territory that aired. Fantastic episode.
It was good. It was real good. I got a snap last night.
Yeah, called it the most adorable episode ever.
That was with all the moms?
Yeah.
All the moms were in the house. My mom was in the
house. My mom was here.
Yeah,
Mama Sussman, Miss Sussman was here. That was cool.
Yeah, it was great. It was a really fun episode. A lot less work for us in the control room, bleeping out cursing and bleeping out things we're not allowed to say. It was great. Corey called Chris an MF-er. That was awesome.
that made it cut. Oh, good. You know, they're very progressive with their cutting.
We are. We cut it here today. It was great. It was very, very funny. The critics were raving. Chris Manzo, in fact, said, quote, "That's the best intro we've ever done."
Nice. So good job.
There you go. Good job.
So shout out to everybody. I got a snap last night. Was that last night? Or that this morning? I got a snap last night.
In your shorts?
No. Not that. Snapchat. We need to talk about Snapchat too, Scotty. But I got a snap last night from Chris Manzo. And it was him and Nando playing beer pong.
I got that too. Nando is not performing well. I got a bunch of text messages about that.
Oh, really?
I was like, you need to bring in like the younger guy here to.
You know what? Like I always was like every time like I first like the beer pong thing, I was kind of first. I was like, y'all weird for playing this. You know what I'm saying? Scott, know what I mean when I say y'all. And then I kind of got into it. You know what I'm saying?
It's fun.
You remember the homegirl, Caitlin O'Toole? You know what I'm saying?
Sure, I know Caitlin O'Toole.
Caitlin O'Toole, yeah. So one time it was me, and it was me, Tommy G. Shout out to Tommy G. Screenshot Mafia. It was me, Tommy G, Caitlin, and Caitlin's mom. You know, we was over there by you, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
And he was at Mercury Bar.
Oh, yeah.
We was at Mercury Bar. Yeah, we was right at Mercury Bar watching Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
And they was like, you know, I was getting ready to roll out. I was getting ready to go back uptown because I had to be up for Roto Express in the morning, you know, in Sirius XM days. And, you know.
You didn't have to.
Yeah, I get it. I might have made it at some point.
It was 6:45. So. 6:06. I want to clarify that.
So we went out there, right? So I was getting ready to roll out. And then Caitlin Mom was like, yo, why don't you be my partner? And we play some beer pong. And we almost won. Like, they had to come back at the end. But once I got the hang of it, bam, I was just dropping them right
all
in
the
there.
Wrist, all the
I was
wrist,
just
baby.
Dropping them right
you
in there.
You know what's a good beer pong table?
What's one?
This
would be. Let's do it when we come back.
We will not, because then we get in trouble. When we come back, we got a lot more baseball to get into. I want to talk about this Red Sox game. I want to talk about Kevin Kiermaier as well. We got a lot of baseball to get into before we spike line at the bottom of the hour. It's Roto Express in the Morning here on the Sports Network.
A little bit of day baseball yesterday up there in Milwaukee, out there in Milwaukee. Red Sox and Milwaukee Brewers played some day baseball. No day baseball today, but daytime baseball talk. Subscribe, YouTube.com, Fantasy Sports Network channel. BFFs, best friends forever. Catch the live stream. Greg Sussman, Mike Florio, Frank Stanfield talking baseball. Frank doing crazy dances. It goes down right on the FNTSY YouTube channel. No Day Baseball.
Today is Fat Guy Friday on the BFFs.
I should be on it.
You want to come on?
I should be on it for Fat Guy Friday.
What's Fat Guy Friday?
We're going to talk about fat guys.
Okay.
Fat Guy Friday.
Like, who'd you talk about last week?
Well, this is the inaugural Fat Guy Friday.
We change it up daily, you know.
Okay.
So like earlier this week we had Frank's returns. So we talked about players returning from the disabled
list.
That
one I caught. Yes,
you caught that one. Yeah. So today,
did you like the way it looked?
Yeah.
So today it's Fat Guy Friday. We'll be talking about some fat guys.
Yeah.
You know, it could be baseball players, it could be offensive linemen, defensive linemen, you know, cool. I don't know.
Fat Tony.
One thing I like about when they when y'all be doing, and then Frank start doing these crazy things, like he be dancing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like he really gets into the comeback music and he throws his hands in the air and he really gets it going. You know what I'm saying? I like that energy that Frank brings.
We like that performance.
Yeah. I like that. I like that energy. It shows that he's happy and he's pumped up to be talking with the people. You feel what I'm saying?
He's admitted he learned everything he knew from Scott. True story.
There you go, Scott.
No, he didn't.
There you go.
Wow. Frank was like, when I met him, he's like, you know, he's saying he liked to go dancing and stuff. So he saw me doing my thing on camera, and he's like, I can do it too.
I'm. If they play, I'll dance in the next break. When we come back from the next break, I'll dance.
You want to dance the next break?
I'm not gonna stand up and dance. No, if they play some dancing music, I'll dance. You know, feel what I'm saying? Right. I mean, like some good like music that I would like jam to. Like I'm not a real big dancer. You know what I'm saying?
I know. The next song Cha-Cha's is wedding, a song you that Corey would jam to. Yeah.
Huh?
Cha-Cha's wedding. You didn't dance.
Yeah, I'm not. You know, I'm a kind of. You know, remember the classic lean back. As I'm like,
Corey's
you know, what I'm
a
saying?
Slow dancer.
Yeah.
I know he does it with two. Yeah.
I don't dance. I tip. Nah, let me stop.
I laughed.
Make it rain. Light showers.
The Boston Red Sox yesterday afternoon, they defeated Milwaukee, and it was a really good pitching performance by both starting pitchers, both enigmas. Enigmas.
Oh. I'm about to say, wait a minute. And with Eduardo Rodriguez and Jimmy Nelson. Okay, yes.
Remember you asked me about Eduardo Rodriguez yesterday. I said, start this guy. And he had another good start. The ERA is down to 280. Six strong innings. He only allowed three hits, and he didn't walk anybody.
Yeah, the only run came in that sixth inning, and it was annoying. Johnny VR doubled after Manny Pena got on base. Craig Kimbrel pitched awesomely in his inning of two thirds. Five strikeouts. Everybody he got out, he struck him out.
Yo, well, let me ask y'all a question about this. I've been meaning to ask y'all this for a minute. What did we miss on Kimbrel in the draft season?
His knee. Last year he had the knee problem.
Yeah.
And the end of the season, like that second half, he wasn't good. He was struggling. I was nervous about it. I was like, this is a guy who's getting another year older. You know, maybe he's kind of losing a little bit of a step.
Yeah.
And he has been nothing but fantastic.
Been great.
He entered yesterday with a 52% strikeout rate.
That's
and
crazy.
He struck out five batters.
No, because I'm like, I normally when we talk baseball, he's always one of the top closers that we talk about and stuff like that. But he was like, if I'm not mistaken.
He slid down.
Even the great Jake Seeley had him ranked like 10th. If I am mistaken, he'll let me know.
A lot of people didn't have him top five.
Yeah, what's up with that? You know what I mean? Because of the injury, though.
I've been thinking of Greg Sussman because I saw that Ryan Braun went on the DL. Mm-hmm. Now, I know Greg's not like you, where you wish for people to get hurt. But Ryan Braun did go on the DL. Mm-hmm. That opens up playing time for your guy.
Hernan Perez. Yeah. Because I actually got questions. Once Ryan Braun officially went on the DL yesterday, I got a bunch of questions via Twitter, via text message, via email. Does this mean Lewis Brinson will get called up? And I go, absolutely not, because all this is literally, they'll just put
He's not Hernan, coming up till at least July.
They'll just put Hernan Perez right in the spot of Ryan Braun, both in the lineup and the outfield. Hernan Perez is going to bat third now behind Eric Thames when he's playing and Travis Shaw in that spot. So,
and by the way, Jonathan Villar had a big RBI, and when he got on base, you could see this guy slumping.
Yes.
He was so pumped up, he started dancing on second base.
And in the first inning of that game yesterday, Keon Broxton is on second base, is one out. You know, maybe you get a little rally going. It was like the worst attempted steal of third base I ever saw. He was just gunned out.
That's frustrating.
The guy was like waiting for him.
It was that bad.
Yeah, that was the fourth time he's been thrown out now. He's tied for the MLB league.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
You know, I play in a league with like net stolen bases.
Oh, really?
That would annoy me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It annoys me and I don't.
Yeah.
Jimmy Nelson.
You would like a league with net stolen bases?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, no, I think that is
totally,
cool.
Totally. Yeah. Totally would. Absolutely.
Yeah. Somebody's looking at us. See that guy right
there?
Hello,
friend.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
6 2/3.
Yep.
Because I have a league that's got like on base plus slugging percentage.
Right.
And then innings pitched, net stolen bases.
It's too cute. It's too cute. It's too much going on in that league, Scott. It's too
six by six.
why not just 5x5? What's wrong with that?
I play in a lot of 5x5 leagues. I like the fact that this one, like, you know, it's took like, a little bit of like a different turn.
If you want to do super flex, Corey, you know, football, you want to add a little.
You want to add a little. Like, you would for football. It's like, but you maybe you know don't what I like that for baseball.
No, not necessarily. You know what I wouldn't mind trying for football? A roto league.
Yes, I want to do one.
You know, I said that this morning on Sincott and Engel. It's like we were talking about different styles.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't think, you know, because everybody plays a certain style. I said, if you had an auction roto league, I said, it would be a challenge to find it. Corey Parson would go, I'm in.
Yeah,
and
I would
then,
play.
And then who else would you get?
It'd be tough to get the other 11 or, no, or 9 owners.
Roto guys that would play
now, what
roto.
Would be the categories if we went to roto football, though? Obviously, touchdowns, right? What yardage, though? Like total yardage, field goal? I mean, passing yardage?
Like, I played roto football once, like 18 years ago. I'm trying to remember what the categories were.
What do you think, Greg? Categories for roto football would be?
Touchdowns, obviously.
But do you break like receiving touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, passing touchdowns?
No.
Just touchdowns.
Touchdowns. Well, I wouldn't count the passing touchdowns like in the category. It just doesn't make sense, I guess.
See what I'm saying?
You would have to have more have to categories by position.
It would just have to be touchdowns.
It have to be touchdowns.
So just touchdowns.
Yeah. Yards.
Okay. Like, but rushing yards, passing yards. You feel what I'm saying?
I think just yards. Right?
I think you could do rushing yards and passing yards, actually. Mm-hmm. I think you do rushing yards and passing yards.
And rushing yards and receiving yards? Rushing yards and
Rushing yards and receiving yards.
So rushing yards, receiving yards, passing yards.
Touchdowns.
Touchdowns.
I'll leave touchdowns by itself. Yeah. You would do
field goals? Field goals made? No?
Field goals made works.
I would like to do field goals made versus missed.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, Jake Seeley would not like you.
I think Jake don't like me right now.
Jake, like, get rid of kickers.
I also think that, like, what about receptions?
We have to receptions.
We're a PPR league, damn it.
Right, I think, though, if you're playing, though, like rotisserie, though, you had receptions. How many categories are you possibly going to have? Like,
if you can get six.
How many do you want? I don't know how many you want.
So touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
Receiving yards, rushing yards, passing yards, receptions. So that's five categories right there. Field goals made.
Yeah.
And then carries?
No. I think then you have to do something defensive.
So six categories. What can you do? Sacks?
Sacks plus interceptions.
Interesting.
I don't know. I played it so long ago, I can't remember the categories. But if anybody has actually played, tweet at us. Or
yeah, no doubt. Or give us a phone call.
844-843-6879.
Because if I'm not mistaken, didn't Charlie Wiegert's CDM site, didn't they used to have roto football? Charlie, we need to get Charlie Wiegert on the show and talk about roto football.
Yeah, but
football.
Then we got to extend the show by now.
You're right.
I love Charlie. He talks a lot.
Sorry, Greg.
Hey, no problem. It was a good conversation. Before we break, though, this Jimmy Nelson and Eduardo Rodriguez thing, I know both enigmas.
Mm-hmm.
both enigmas here. We mentioned Corey Knebel and Naftali Feliz. As I said, Feliz has only blown one save of the year despite the terrible ERA. Rodriguez, Nelson, Modica, are they, is either one or both or neither in your circle of trust currently?
Eduardo Rodriguez really is. The walks have been way down. He's pitching really well. Jimmy Nelson, I don't know if I might have him on one team remaining, but I picked him up. I played the dance, and it didn't work out too well.
It didn't work out for me either. Obviously, I've started Eduardo Rodriguez almost every start here, and it's worked out well.
Yeah, you got to be happy.
This guy heard a lot about him before last season, and then he got injured. He had to get rid of tipping his pitches. Now he's done it.
Yeah, great point. Mookie Betts, the monster home run, 3-run shot off of Feliz, 5th home run of the year.
They're glad to see him leave town. He had a big series.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Mookie Betts really stepped out of that leadoff spot in this series. We'll come back. We'll mention Kevin Kiermaier. We'll get some baseball for the week for this weekend, for today, for tonight. And then is Mike Lyon. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way next.
poppy for me to
Let's
dance.
Let's go. Let's see the dancing. Come on.
I don't dance you to pop. Stuff. This is too poppy. I can't only know how to dance to these babe. Pop these pop
Ain't
jams
no
like this.
Lie, hey. You know, come go. Whoa, whoa. Remember you told me.
I think Scotty's danced to this before because he's got this down.
No, Scotty's dead now.
You sing all day. Every little thing hey. I do.
I can dance.
Never be enough for you.
There you go.
You don't want to lose it again.
We're like a band.
But I'm not like that. All right, there you
Hitting
go.
Hitting the note. There you nice. Go. Nice. Nice job.
I appreciate it.
Wait a minute. Who exactly was that? I can't remember.
NSYNC.
NSYNC. Yeah, yeah. I thought
See,
so.
See, I don't do in boy bands.
Why?
I haven't. I don't. All right. I'm not.
Let
really
me ask you a question. Though. Yeah. Did you like New Edition?
New Edition. Yes.
That it was the telephone.
They technically were a boy band.
They were a boy
band.
Boys
to Men. Big Boys to Men.
I'm not really a big Boys to Men guy.
Oh, I love so, Boys to Men.
It's hard to say goodbye.
Yeah. That was, no, yeah. That was
End of the Road.
Yep.
Yeah.
What about that song with Mariah Carey? I like that song.
What, I was about to say One Sweet Day.
Oh, yeah. One Sweet Day is great.
Oh, I love that.
At least I wasn't really.
I was super into One Sweet Day.
Yeah. Would you consider Jodeci a boy band?
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. Then I used to like them too. They.
How much?
Jason Bargens yesterday. 7 innings, 3 hits, struck out 4. The ERA sits at 1.
Now, Jason Vargas came into yesterday with the best ERA in the entire major leagues and lowered it to 1.08 yesterday. The Kansas City Royals have 13 wins. Jason Vargas has 5 of them.
Here's my take on Vargas. If you own Vargas, I own him in a couple of places. I even overpaid for him last month. I mean, I do have a tendency to be a little aggressive with Fab, but he was a guy that I wanted. My expectations from this day forward, so everything he has now is banked, not including that. From this day forward, if he can pitch to his ex-FIP, which is 371, and
he's
give me like
go.
Another
yeah.
125 innings,
yeah.
I am ecstatic.
I got him in two leagues. I got him in a taxi squad round of Tout Wars, mm-hmm. and I got him in my American League Only League auction for like a buck.
You said something interesting just now. Fab, do you think I'm aggressive when it comes to spending Fab? Because if I'd like a player, I like to go get him. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, who was the bum last year? Lions running back, Dwayne Washington.
Yeah.
I dropped like 5 and change for Dwayne Washington in like week 3. I don't think the Lions paid him $500.
Well, but listen, here's the thing. Like, Addison Reed is going to be Sunday night special.
Okay, yeah. I get that.
And Derek Law, too, yeah.
Yeah, but Addison Reed
than Derek Law. Much, yeah. Yeah, but two I mean, of them are.
But what I'm saying, Addison Reed is possibly going to go for like $400 and something dollars.
So I can tell you this. So last night, waivers in one of my leagues run Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay, this is a different league. The first come, first serve. It's actual waivers. So I put in a bid. It's a $200 cap to begin the year. I had $131 left. I put $31 on Addison Reed to get to an even 100 because, like, well, I'll pick a random number, right? So I put $31 on Addison Reed. He went for 53. So he went for about a quarter of the full budget, which I thought was interesting.
Yep.
So given that you started at 1,000, a lot of leagues started at 1,000, Matt, I think he's going to go for somewhere between 250 and 3.
Yeah, but there's going to be that one guy that say he had Brad Brock, I'm not Brad, but Zach Britton, who's gone, and he needs saves. This is a guy that you're
Well, the guy that just lost Familia, too, yeah.
Yeah, or the guy that lost Familia.
Or Melanson, yeah.
They can get this guy for the next 4.5 months.
That's good.
That's what you're looking at. That's why, like Corey said, I'll be aggressive in the first month especially, because if I can get whoever I pick up
and
give
get him
me
for
5 months
exactly
of
you want
stats,
that.
You can't. I mean, that's why I paid a shitload of money for Cody Bellinger in the one league that he was available in this past my Runaway Online Challenge. And, you know, you got to do it.
That's what I talk about bidding commensurately, because you don't want to throw $250 on a guy that you don't know is going to have the job the rest of the way. If you're speculating on somebody, decide how much job security they're going to have or how much they're going to give you the rest of the year, and then you got to bid commensurately.
Speaking of Cody Bellinger, in this league I was just telling you about, again, it's keeper league. I own him in the 29th round. For the next 2 years, I own Cody Bellinger. Here's the offer I just received for him. Natalie Feliz, David Robertson.
Saves.
Jackie Bradley Jr.
A bum.
JBJ.
And Freddie Galvis.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
This is the problem with a lot of these trades. People think we're playing actual Major League Baseball, and they want to offer 3-for-1 and 4-for-1. You want to fortify your team for the future. You know, I'll give you three top prospects and this guy. You know, that's not how it works in fantasy.
That trade in the keeper league was just terrible altogether.
I was also offered forget the keeper stuff in this.
It's awful all around.
Correct. Yeah. I was also offered this trade. Same person. The same package that I just told you. Take out one of those names and put in Logan Morrison. Morrison, Feliz, Robertson, and Galvis. Jackie Bradley Jr. is replaced with Logan Morrison. Yonder Alonso, Albert Pujols, and Matt Shoemaker.
I want to hear the reasoning behind these deals.
I'm not. I'm just getting rejected.
Did he put something like it in the comments field?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I used to be the most active guy with ads and drops and trade proposals. I love playing in a non-trade.
He just sent me an email saying, I sent over a couple offers. Let me know what you think. My response would be, yeah, those weren't in the universe. Thanks.
I'm not a real big trade guy either. It's just not really the way.
I like trading. It's fun.
It's not really the way I like to play. Yeah. You know, I'll throw out a couple like in Tout Wars now. I need some pieces, whatever. I'll throw out a couple, but I don't expect really much, you know what I'm saying, to happen. It's just not my thing.
I think if you want to make trades, you have to be willing to give up a little more.
Correct.
If you're willing to do that, then that's fine. Because people want to, like, I heard some of the deals that Scott was offered. You know, guys that were going to lose, Frankie Rodriguez is going to lose his job.
He's insane. Insane.
Like, is nobody else watching? Like, you think, like,
I like trade leads, though, ultimately, though, because it always gives you a chance to improve your team by making a move and just the fun of trades, too.
I don't get into it. Scott, I wanted to ask you, though, Scott. You're conservative when it comes to Fab.
Yes, often, yeah.
If Addison Reed was available in Tout for me to pick him up and to get some saves, I would
go hard after him. I haven't always historically been there.
I would have left, like, a couple dollars left. Like, I would have went all in.
Like, how much? You got $1,000 budget. How much are you talking about?
Say I still had, I don't have $1,000 left. Say I still had a grand left, right? And Addison Reed was out there. I probably would have went like 9:30.
All right. What if you had?
I don't think you have to do that. I would say in Tout
Wars,
like
Josh Gordon that year.
In Tout Wars, if you go over 400, you'll definitely get the guy.
What if you had $529 left and Addison Reed was available?
I would go probably like 425 or something.
I'd go like 370.
He's not available. Yeah. He's not available.
Yeah. But the thing is,
There's no science to Fab.
Is Corey missing saves, though? Is saves going to give Corey a chance to really climb the ladder, you know, as far as points? Say he has 4 points right now, and if he gets 10 points.
See, that's what I'm saying. I got like a 3 in saves.
Yeah, no. It would be smart to blow a good portion.
Yeah.
Not 930 of 1,000.
Yeah.
But, you know, like if you had 525, like you said, and you put a $404 bid.
Yeah, I would put like 370, 380, you know, something like that.
How much would you put on Eddie Butler? Starts tonight, makes his debut for the Cubs this season. Had a great spring. Filling in for Brett Anderson, maybe taking the job from Brett Anderson. We'll see. We talked about Mike Montgomery versus Eddie Butler. Eddie Butler starts tonight. What do we think, Scotty?
I would put 40, 50 bucks maybe on him out of 1,000 cap. You know, because he hasn't really proven anything, but he does have potential. What's interesting that you said there's no science to Fab.
There's not.
We go on feel, and we always talk in fantasy about how we have to base everything on statistical information. There's no formula out there that spits out, and you can say, you know, like you go to Fantasy Pros and say, here's the Fab calculator, how much you should, you know, we're always talking, we got to back everything up. And it's interesting that Fab totally goes on feel.
Yeah, it's crazy. You got to know the inside of your league. Got to know how players in your league have been. I'm always going to be aggressive because one of the worst things I hate to do is when the season is over, I still got Fab money left. I think
you should take it to the gentleman's club.
Exactly. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I'll admit.
Then I wouldn't have no players.
One of my faults is that maybe I'm too aggressive at times. When you hit on that player, it's a wonderful thing. And you'll hit on players for not even a lot of money. Sometimes you'll throw a $20 bid on somebody just to take a chance. And that guy turns out. Maybe he shouldn't have even turned out statistically. He outperformed. But it worked. So, I mean, you get lucky at times.
The year Keenan Allen popped, his rookie season, I was like, I forgot. Who was it? Michael Floyd, somebody like that. I'm like, this dude stays hurt.
Say who I won't draft that bum ever again.
This dude stays hurt. Michael Floyd, so I was like, I'm going to put $13 on the rookie, Allen. You know what I'm saying? That weekend fab, I put $13 on him. In other leagues, he was going for 175, 220. Because remember, Allen popped early in the season, 220, 230. Now, towards the end of the year when we chasing down the overall, everybody that all the Keenan Allen teams were up towards the top. But is it fair that I got him for $13 and they had to pay? You see what I'm saying? That's what it's like.
It all depends. Every league's different. It all depends on the team. Like if I needed, like I'm saying, if I needed saves, I had a good team and my team was competitive. And the one thing I was missing was saves.
Yeah.
And a guy like Addison Reed is going to come on the market now and I can get him for 4.5 months.
Yeah.
You know? I'm gonna bid a lot of money, especially in an overall. Now in a satellite league, he might not go as much.
Exactly,
he's gonna go maybe like 200 to 250. But in an overall, where you don't have enough saves, you don't have enough stolen bases,
you got to go all the way in.
You got to keep going and you keep churning because guys are gonna lose their job too and get hurt, as we see.
It's interesting how Fab works. And it's like Scott said, it's no real God. There's no, like, you can't put Fab into an algorithm and to spit out a price for you. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I wish there was, because it'd make my life a lot easier.
Maybe Corey can come up with an algorithm.
Maybe we got to figure it out.
When we come back, I try to defend my prize possession. It's Friday. It's the bottom of the hour, which means Is Mike Lyon is up next. Stick around. Can I do it? Find out next.
I like this one right here, Scott. Yeah,
dance this one.
I like this one. I changed my mind on dancing. Come on, I like that one right there, Scott.
There you go, Scott.
Zek
style.
Scott, I'm telling you, Scott's a good dancer. I've been out with Scott. He's a good effing dancer.
I would never suspect it, but Scott is a good dancer.
Yeah, Scott's a good dancer.
There you go, Scott.
You think you can beat Frank in a dance contest?
That would be good.
I would like to see that. We need to have a dance contest and a fashion show. I sound like a 16-year-old girl.
Yes, you do, very often. Yeah.
We got to have a dance contest with Frank and Scott, and then we got to have a fashion show for Benny.
Yeah,
nobody else. Hey,
no, wait, Greg, you worn some nice threads
No. Benny's the
OG. Benny takes the cake.
Hey, let's do it. Let's get Is Mike Lyon ready to go. Mike Florio, good morning, sir.
What's up?
How you doing, bud?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I am doing well. Matt Modica, the perennial superstar of this game. Scott Angle, defending champ, a former defending champion, got lost in overtime last week. Corey Parson, the legend in this game, and then me. And I am proud to say this, Mike Florio. Nope. Waiting for it? Nope. Try it again. You cut it off, please.
Oh, boy. We got to go back to the Sus Mania days.
That was a nice overtime game.
It was a great game. As the defending champion, I get to choose where I go. This is very important.
It's a privilege. Yes.
It's a privilege. I earned that, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, with that being said, I will choose for Matt Modica to go first.
I don't like going first.
You know what, Shane? You know what? No, he won't go first then, because I like you.
You already said his name.
All right.
You already said his name.
I wasn't going to choose you.
Okay.
Never mind. All right, now Matt Modica. I said you first. Modica goes first. Here we go.
I'll go first. Let's go.
Aaron Judge leads the American League.
There it is.
You want to dance to the music? Aaron Judge leads the American League in runs scored.
Ooh.
This is false.
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 True.
Whoa!
He is fifth in baseball, first in the AL.
Good call, Mike Florio. All right. Nobody gets it right. All of us off to a poor start with zero. Scott Angle, question number two.
Bryce Harper leads all qualified hitters in walk rate.
I'm going to say true.
I'm going to say true also.
I'll say false.
True.
Greg, you're the only false.
I am.
It is false.
Ah! All right.
One player has a higher walk rate.
One player has a higher walk rate. Scott Engel. Who is
One
it?
Player has a higher walk rate. Paul Goldschmidt.
No. Paul Goldschmidt is the fifth highest walk rate in the league.
It's a good guess.
Higher
good
guess right walk there. Rate. Ryan Zimmerman.
No. Ryan Zimmerman is... I don't see his name.
Okay.
All right. That means I am up next. And I will say the highest walk rate is... Paul Goldschmidt was a really good guess, Scott.
That was a good one.
That was a really good guess. I will go with... Who the hell walks in the baseball? I don't even know.
In the baseball.
In all of baseball, yes. You know the answer for that?
I think I might.
You know, I got two possibilities.
All right, I will go with Jose Altuve.
No.
Rodica?
I said Joey Votto.
No. Right, Joey Votto's seventh.
What's the answer?
Matt Carpenter.
I would have never guessed that.
You know what? That like, makes sense because OBP's like 450 yep. right now. That's like, that was easy. Yeah. All right. What's the score by Florida? I wasn't sure about that.
One for Greg, zero for the field.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Put that in the time cap.
Yes, right.
All right, here we go.
Corey
it's my
Morrison,
turn.
Question number three.
Let's go.
Perfect timing for Corey. Antonio Brown.
Ooh.
How about that?
Led the NFL in receptions last year.
I just was looking at this the other day. It's either only one or two people that led the NFL in receptions last year. Antonio Brown. Mike Evans led in targets, but I think Antonio Brown led in receptions.
So you're saying true?
I'm saying this is true.
I say false.
You go last in this.
Well, he looked at me, so...
He's just looking around.
Yeah. I'm not so maybe
host.
I was next.
No, right. I'm not the host.
I will go... Corey would know this better than me. But I don't think that's true. I think it's false.
False for Greg?
Yeah.
True for Corey?
I'm going to say false as well.
I'll say false.
Corey, you're the only one who didn't get a point on the football question.
Wow.
Who led the league in receptions?
No.
You got to guess.
Oh. Wait. How many people had more than Antonio Brown?
One.
You get the first guess.
And they're neck and neck.
Oh, if Antonio Brown, it wasn't... I led the league in receptions. It's not Mike Evans. So it has to be Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham was third, just behind Antonio Brown.
So my initial gut instinct was Mike Evans, but Corey keeps saying it's not Mike Evans. So I'll guess Julio Jones.
No, Julio Jones is pretty down the list.
Mike Evans.
It was not Mike Evans.
Oh!
Julio Jones was 17th in receptions. Mike Evans was 6th.
Wow. Okay.
It's not Mike.
Wow.
This would be crazy if it is who I... It can't be him, though.
Let's find out. Scott, I need a guess, please.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Point for the King.
Whoa! Nice job, Scott.
That was a good
one,
Scott.
That was a good pull.
He had 107 receptions. Antonio Brown had 106.
Good job, Scott.
Wow.
Good job.
Antonio Brown had 106. Mike Evans had 96. Golden Tate had 99.
So
Golden Tate had 91. Yeah.
2 points for me. 2 points for Scotty. 1 point for Matt.
I'm on a donut.
Donut for Corey. Question number four.
Fat Guy Friday donut. According to Snapple Facts. Changed it up.
I like it.
The King of Hearts is the only king without a mustache.
True.
Matty Moe?
False.
I'm going to say true.
I'm going to go true also.
It is true.
All right, so it's true. Scotty and I go to three. Matt stays at one. Corey! Ties it up.
Let's
do it. Point of the day at one. Question number five from Matt Modica.
Freddie Freeman leads all qualified hitters in WOBA.
Freddie Freeman leads
it's
all
your stat, man.
Is it my turn?
No, it's not.
It's for me, right? I go first?
Yes, sir.
False.
I'm going to say true.
I'm going to go false.
I'll say false as well.
Greg's back in the lead.
There it is.
It is false. Two hitters have a higher WOBA than Mr. Freeman.
You got to name it first, Matt Modica. Name one of them.
Ryan Zimmerman.
He is number one in the league in WOBA.
There you go. Modica picks up an extra point there. Scotty.
Eric Thames.
He is fourth.
Ooh, Eric Thames is a good one. Eric Thames.
WOBA, weighted on base average.
You don't get a point for that.
That was a very good one, Scott. Aaron Judge.
No. Aaron Judge is fifth.
Wow.
So you guys have four of the top five.
Is the last one Bryce Harper?
Point for Greg.
Wow. Sussman is rolling.
What are the scores here, please?
Son of a
five
gun.
For Greg, three for Matt and Scott, two for the exec.
As we head to question number six.
Dallas Keuchel leads all qualified starters in ground ball rate.
Scotty.
False.
Corey.
True.
It's one of two people in my head. I'll say false, though.
True.
False.
Okay.
Greg fist pumps.
Fist pump that one, folks.
One pitcher has a higher ground ball rate.
Scott Engel.
Kyle Freeland.
Correct.
Whoa! Oh! He knew it! He wanted to be the king!
That's impressive.
Scotty knew that one! Wow!
It's your boy,
that's my boy, right? What's the scores for you?
Six for Greg, five for Scott, three for Matt, two for Corey.
Alrighty. Question number seven.
David Johnson led the NFL in rushing touchdowns.
Another football question for Corey.
David Johnson led the NFL in rushing touchdowns. False.
False.
It is false.
False.
It is false. One player had more.
Corey?
Who goes first?
Corey goes first, then me.
It's either one or two people. Once again, we come down to one or two people. Well, then again, it might be a third. I'm going to say Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott was third in rushing
touchdowns. Wow, I was right. So this is crazy. I didn't have... Led the league in rushing touchdowns?
Yes.
Ooh, which could be that person, too. LeGarrette Blount.
That's the guy.
Point for Greg.
Yeah!
He's either going to be Ezekiel Elliott or Garrett Blunt. Yeah.
How many did Elliott have?
When you said Zeke, yeah.
How many did Blunt have?
18. How many did Elliott have?
18.
Blunt has 16. Elliott has 16.
Elliott had 15 rushing.
One receiving. The one in Pittsburgh. When he ran down the sideline.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Weren't they all good ones?
What was it? Away with. Can I get the scores, please?
Eight. For Greg, six for Scott, four for Matty Moe, three for Corey.
Gotta hold on with question number eight.
According to Snapple Facts, Spanish is the most spoken language in the world.
I have a first year. Spanish is the most spoken language in the world. I will say that is false.
I'll say true.
True.
False.
It is false.
I just had to go against you.
Right.
I'll
go first here. Mandarin.
No.
Okay.
Arabic.
No.
Ooh. You weren't next anyway, but it's fine. Modica?
English.
No.
Cantonese.
No.
What's the answer, Laura?
Chinese.
Wow. I was right there in my
so
Mandarin.
Was I.
You were too.
Yeah.
Hey, we got two more questions to go. We wrap up. Is Mike lying? Can I hold on? Find out next. Just 4 minutes left here in the program. Score update, Mike Florio, as we go to the final two questions.
Greg, I've noticed you wanted more score updates today than ever before.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He's just running away with it.
I just did score update, Mike.
Nine for Greg, six for Scott, and four for Corey and Matt.
Okay. All right. Got to just hold on. Question number nine is Matt Modica's.
Ooh, it's a good one for Matt. LeSean McCoy led all running backs in yards per carry.
That he did.
Ooh.
True.
True.
Corey just wants to sit false. He hates McCoy.
False.
True.
Corey's hatred for McCoy gets him a point.
All right.
I just said true as you two did.
There were two running backs who had higher. I will be impressed if you can get him.
You know it's Macari. Corey.
Well, I got to go first on this one?
I'm sorry. Matt. I'm sorry, Corey. Okay. Matt.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell.
No. Le'Veon Bell was eighth.
David Johnson.
No. David Johnson was a little bit lower.
Corey.
This is interesting right here. Yards per carry. This might be off the wall. Ty Montgomery.
No.
Tevin Coleman.
No.
That's a good one right
I
there.
I thought I was right. All right. Who was it?
Mike Gillisley was number one.
Okay.
Bilal Powell was number two.
See,
I have the wrong bill.
The bill was the bills
had the wrong bill. All right, the final question. Corey made the point that he's got five. Matt Modica in last today.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go back to the drawing board.
I have to go back to the drawing board. The final question
you
today.
You already won. This is
the king, Scott Engel.
Yeah,
that you could catch up.
You can catch up. We'll see what happens.
How you got nine,
Eric,
right?
Just, answer the question.
Eric
here.
Thames leads the league in ISO.
Unbelievable.
I'm gonna say true.
Corey?
True.
I mean, it makes sense to say true for Scott. I don't think it's true, so I'll say false.
It's false.
It's false. There are three players with higher.
Scotty?
Greg's already clinched, though.
Three players with higher. Who's that guy I was thinking of?
I don't know.
Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge is number one.
Aaron Judge number one. There you go.
Ryan Zimmerman.
Ryan Zimmerman is number two.
There you go. I'll go with Yonder Alonso.
Yonder Alonso is number five.
Oh!
That was a good guess, man.
Miguel
so you guys
Sano?
Have four of the top five. Miguel Sano is number six. You have five of the top six.
Who's the one we forgot?
Freddie Freeman.
Freddie
He's
Freeman.
Number three.
All right. There you go. Which means your winner!
Ready!
And reigning, defending, undisputed champion! Is still here because it is Sauce Mania!
Nice.
I
Return
think Scott
of Sauce Mania.
I think we have to steal the crown that the Mets have in the clubhouse.
As long as you don't take the dildo. I don't need that. What's
that's very unsuspect like you.
What's
up
next on the OGs today, Corey?
On OGs today, we're going to talk about the tight end position in fantasy football. We're going to learn how these gentlemen value tight end, draft tight ends, you know what I'm saying? So we'll be doing some tight end talking. We'll get into tonight's slate and then, you know, whatever. We're going to kick it.
You're kicking old school?
Kicking it old school.
Will you be dancing on that show?
No, probably no dancing. There's no cameras.
You still dance. Scott's been dancing for weeks now, Captain.
This is true, too.
Yeah. Just enjoy yourself.
Just enjoy yourself. You do a show. You enjoy yourself. We have the NASCAR Hour today.
Fantasy NASCAR Hour will be up later online. It will air live tomorrow at 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. The Kansas race is on Saturday night this week.
Saturday night. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting. Matt, what are you up to this weekend?
Not a whole lot. To be honest with you. Watch the Mets tonight. I'll be on with Joe Piscopini tonight at 8:00 to 10:00.
There you go.
I'll be back here.
Absolutely be back here. And of course, it's Mother's Day. Appreciate your mothers, people. Happy Mother's Day. For Matt Modica, for Scott Engel, for the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, my name is Greg the Champion Sussman. We will see you next week. Have a wonderful weekend. We will see you on Monday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, for another edition of the Roto Experts. OGs are up next. See you.